of Second Essay, and it's chapter 20. We began it last week, and we explained that Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi has come up with the idea of the 18-hour rotation. You will recall from last week, and we're going to come soon to that statement in the Kuzari where he says, it is of necessity. There is no getting away from it. That there has to be a point on the globe, someplace on the globe, where there's a difference of 24 hours. Now, there has to be a point on the globe where between east and west of that point, in other words, 1 centimeter to the right, 1 centimeter to the left, there's a point at which the day changes. On one side it's Wednesday, and on the other side it's Thursday. If we would not have that point, there would be total confusion on the face of this earth. Adam HaRishon would not have been able to give names to the days or numbers to the days of the week, because we wouldn't know where the day begins and where the day ends. The fact is, 360 degrees make up the globe. Every degree is movement of 4 minutes. He's even going to talk about dividing the world into time zones. Time zones. It's fascinating. I mean, the ideas that he came up with so much earlier than world geographers came up with. Because he then said, and I think we touched on this, if the sun is never standing still, and by the way, we explained last week that we're only using that as a figure of speech. The fact is, the sun is not making the movement. The major movement is the earth moving. No, really, the earth moving.
It rotates on its axis.
You see it on its axis, it rotates on its axis, and as it rotates on its axis, it's also moving around in space. So he says that we have to make these divisions because otherwise it would be impossible. Everybody on the face of this earth would have to have a different minute. In other words, there may be a few seconds that separate me and those of you in the back of the room. We're at different points. We're at different points on the globe. So therefore, he's going to divide it into time zones, and his most significant time zone is from Eretz Yisrael, 90 degrees to the east. There's a time zone from the coast of China, which is 90 degrees to the east of Eretz Yisrael, to Eretz Yisrael. This is time zone one, as far as Yehuda HaLevi is concerned. Now, let's take a look into the text. If you'll see, it's divided, number 20 is divided into subsections. I think that we were up to number 2. Do you see number 2? No, you got the right page. Now turn over the page. Sweetie, take a look over there. You see a number 2 over there?
Yeah.
We finished 2? So how do I not remember 2? Number 2 did end by saying that why do we have the whole world has the same days of the week? Only because first man is the one who divided the week into a week. Week of 7 days. Why did he do it? He did it, of course, because he knew that God rested on the seventh day. You know, if it would have been a committee that would have arrived at a conclusion, any kind of, they would never, one thing, they would never have come to a conclusion. They would never have agreed on a week of 7 days. Because that's the one group in time that is not separated by any special kind of sign in the world, astronomic sign. In other words, day and night, it's clear. And there was evening, and there was morning, there's day and night. Months, of course, well, the moon has made a revolution around the earth, okay? Seasons are clear. We know exactly where there are seasons. There's only one time frame, so to speak, that is not set off on both ends by any kind of phenomenon in nature, which means it had to start in such a way that anybody who follows was going to keep it. In other words, if there are a lot of people that keep understand months and understand seasons, it doesn't take any great Hoffman in order to do that. They're clearly marked out by either weather or clear astronomic signs. The only thing that's sort of
arbitrary when it started,
in a sense arbitrary, is the week. And the only way that the week could have come into being is by virtue of the fact that there was one man who did it. Now, the only time one man can do it is when that one man is the only man on the face of this earth. Because if there would be two, you'd already have a problem, because one would most probably resign or disagree. But you have one man. Adam is the one, and he obviously knew about Shabbos. He was Yitzir Karpov Shalakodesh Baruch Hu. He was the one who was created, the handiwork of God. So therefore, he was able to establish days and the unit called week. And the fact is, that's great proof that the whole world started with one man. There is no other logical way that we would ever have arrived at a conclusion that there's a unit called a week. There is nothing about the unit called a week that sets it off from any other kind of unit. It could have been a unit of 10 days for that matter. Maybe a week wasn't even necessary. If it would have been left up to men, maybe it may very well have been that they would count 29 or 30 days because there was a clear phenomenon of watching the moon. And as it grows, as it gets smaller, it disappears, and we start with the next month. So it says all of this is a result of the fact that Adam HaRishon, first man, is the one who began to calling days and nights. He's also going to tell us where was Adam when he started this process. That's going to be extremely important. Adam, when he was expelled from the Garden of Eden, he was exiled. You know where he was exiled to? He was exiled to Eretz Yisrael. He spent first Shabbos, he spent it in Eretz Yisrael. And that's where he established the Shabbos. What?
The week was created when Hashem created the world.
Yeah, but who brings it down to earth? Who established it on the face of this earth? We don't have any place where it said, "So saith the Lord of hosts, count unto thyself 6 days," you know. And that, you see, if we would have waited for that to happen when Torah was given in the year 2448 from creation, the world would have been such an impossible mess that there would be no way to have done anything. If the first establishment of a week came then, what were people doing for 2448 years? What Rav Yehuda HaLevi is going to say is first man immediately established it as the unit that he and his family and others were going to follow, and then of course the world is going to expand outward from Eretz Yisrael. I'll take them all. Don't take them all. Just one. Okay. Number three. do not argue that Israel is not the starting point of the day by citing those who believe that the beginning of the day starts at noon in the far west. At noon in the far west. The fact is that there are, in different cultures, there are different beginnings of the day. When does the day begin for most of the Western world?
At midnight.
When they get up. At midnight. Do you know how amazing it is?
That's
they sleep late.
When I listen to Bezex, when I listen to my, if I come in at 12 o'clock at night, and I want to pick up my messages from my Takoli of Bezek, so they will already tell me about any call that came in before 12 o'clock. Etmol, Bishah, Esrim, Bishalosh, Chamishim, V'teishan, you had a call. And already 1 minute after 12, they're telling you that it is a new day. I don't expect Bezek to, they have to change everything every day according to sunrise and sunset. It's okay. But there are cultures where noon is the change of, sort of the change of the day. But in most of the world, it is either midnight or we are the ones who sunset. Sunset is the end of a day and the beginning of a new day. So he says, do not argue that Israel is not the starting point of the day by citing those who believe that the beginning of the day starts at noon in the far west. You might may argue that at that moment it was sunset in Israel, and so daylight had not yet been exposed to Israel. If it's sunset in the far west,
Brazil.
You know where the far west is? China. 91 degrees to the east of Israel. You might have, in other words, there are those who say that the day begins at China, right? That we would assume, you know, even when we're talking about it, doesn't it sound logical to say that sort of the sun rises, you know, we have this picture in our mind, the sun rises someplace out there in the east, and then the sun moves westward, and it comes here. So he says, do not argue that Israel is not the starting point of the day by citing those who believe that the beginning of the day starts at noon in the far west. You may argue that at that moment it was sunset in Israel, and so daylight had not yet been exposed to Israel. If the day starts there, then at that point it's sunset over here. If it's sunset over here, it means really, the full light of day had not yet appeared in Israel. Furthermore, the first light was created in the west, and it was there that the sun first began rotating. So he says, listen, you'll understand right away. The answer to this argument is that God first created the light above the horizon in Israel, and then immediately caused it to set. Light was created twice. On the first day, it said Vayera Vayivoke. But that first day could not have been a 24-hour day, because the heavenly bodies are not going to begin operating until day 4. So what does it mean Vayera Vayivoke Yom Rishon or Yom Sheni or Yom Shlishi? The sun and the stars and the moon were not yet operating until the fourth day. So Chazal say, that the sun appeared over the horizon in Israel, and then it immediately set. And 4 days later, it is going to be placed in its position in the heavens. Night thus began for the civilized world, and thus did the pattern of starting the day with night first, as is consistent with the scripture, and it was day. And so does the Torah command, from evening to evening shall you observe your Sabbaths. All of our Yom Tovim, Shabbos, Yom Kippur, Yom Tov, everything begins, from evening to you. He goes on to say, do not present me with arguments from those astronomers who carefully measured the sun's motion over time and through extrapolation state that the sun's first position was overhead in China. These astronomers are guilty of stealing wisdom. Listen to what he's going to say. By that, I do not accuse them of deliberately stealing, but that sometime after prophecy ceased, these scientists uncovered wisdom in astronomy and from Jewish prophetic sources. We got it from prophetic sources. And sure, from our prophetic sources, we really came up with calculations that are true until today. We knew just about exactly how long it takes for the moon to make a revolution around the sun. We were able to set up calendars. We did everything. We knew it all very clearly. I mean, for that matter, what was the first mitzvah? The Rishon tells Moshe Rabbeinu, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. He really taught him the laws of astronomy. He taught him how the world works, how the sun and the moon and the earth, how they rotate. So he says, they used these texts and built further upon them from their own intellects. They wrote treatises reflecting their opinions, and it was from these that they arrived at their theory that the beginning of days started in China. This is in opposition to our Torah, but not entirely. We also agree that the first day's daylight began when the sun was overhead in China. But we disagree with them in that we place the night before the day. It's true, the first day was in China. But we don't count from the first day. We count from when it was evening in Eretz Yisrael. When it was evening in Eretz Yisrael, morning was beginning there. It is necessary, number five, it is necessary to utilize the 18-hour rotation as a basis for determining the days of the week because of the following reckoning. Now listen, here he's going to establish the idea that we must have a deadline. Israel, which was where the days of the week first acquired their names, was 6 hours distance, we're on page 72 now, was 6 hours distance from the sun when the days were first named. You get that? Israel, where the days of the week first began and received their names, was 6 hours distant from the sun when the days were first named. The day called Sabbath, for example, began for the first time when the sun began its rotation around the far west. Adam, who was in Israel at the time, first man, saw the sun setting and called this the beginning of the Sabbath. Listen carefully, here he's really going to explain. This beginning of the Sabbath continued around the globe until the sun came overhead Adam, which was 18 hours later. If Shabbos begins at sunset in Eretz Yisrael, it means that in Egypt it's going to start an hour later. In Algeria or Tunisia it's going to start 2 hours later. Right? When you come to Spain, it's going to start, let's use Monaco. I don't like all these Hashtugan countries we're using. You come to Monaco, it's another hour later. In other words, Shabbos is going to continue beginning to appear on the face of this earth for another 18 hours. By the time 18 hours are over, which takes us, I can't find there as a slow.
That's a problem. I'm not going to have that problem.
Which takes us from here, 18 hours later, off the coast of China, Shabbos is going to begin. That means Shabbos begins, or for that matter, any date of the week begins over a period of 18 hours. When 18 hours have passed, there is no new place on the face of this earth that Shabbos is going to begin. All that's going to happen is that in all of those places that Shabbos already began, it's going to continue until it ends. When we have made that rotation, we've come to the point where it's already Sunday is beginning. Otherwise, we'll just keep going around the globe, and it'll be Shabbos, and it'll be Shabbos. And our whole world is going to fall. It survived. It survived. That's what's going to happen.
May I ask a question? Why yes. 18 hours and not 24?
Because it's in the evening.
Because if it's 24,
yeah.
You know that
means. You're coming back to Israel.
It's okay. If it's 24,
then you're coming back to Israel.
Then you know what? Let's say Shabbos starts where I am right now.
Yeah.
And 24 hours later, it's still starting.
Yeah.
Do you know what that means?
Uh-huh. You always have Shabbos.
It's going to be Shabbos here,
yeah.
And it's going to be Sunday here. Uh-huh. I'm going to be standing, or maybe, 1 foot is Shabbos, and 1 foot is Sunday.
So it would be smarter to move both.
That's why you have to have it.
Shabbos.
You have to have it at a place in the world where that doesn't happen. And for it to begin in the Shabbos to begin in Eretz Yisrael, the sun had to be. Where was the sun in China when it started on Shabbos? When Shabbos starts over here?
Midnight.
No.
No.
Where's my little diagram?
Didn't they say 12?
No, it would be noon. It's midnight in China.
It would be noon of the previous day.
No. In China, if it's sunset here, in China it's going to be midnight.
Oh.
It's going to be, when it's sunset here, it's going to be midnight in China. But don't you see what's happening over here?
Was the same day or the day before?
Oh, so it depends. He's going to discuss precisely that. Is it in a... Because we cannot put ourselves in a we can't put anybody in the position that they are at the point where the day changes. Because a person, I'm not going to be a split personality, there's something infinitely worse. The poor man is living Sunday and Monday at the same time. While he can do a malacha with his left hand, he can't do a malacha with his right hand. That's unbelievable. This is unbelievable. Why did the world create the international dateline somewhere through the Pacific, and it should not cross any kind of inhabited area, so we will avoid precisely that problem. But he says there has to be a point on the face of this earth, because if you're not going to make a point on the face of this earth where the day changes, so whatever day the world began with, it would continue like that off into eternity. It would be madness. Now the fact is that since there's a Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Voker, and there's going to be a Shabbos, that means Torah is telling us that there is a point on the face of this globe where the day changes. So the international community went ahead and they drew an arbitrary line. And by the way, there are some poskim who put the dateline at that same point. There are some who put that the dateline even a little bit to the east of that. You have the...
Yeah,
the
circle.
I gave this to you with the point most eastward. Most eastward, what does it go through? I can't see what it goes through. It is the Gesher Achayim. The Gesher Achayim was one of the great poskim of Yerushalayim, who has the furthermost line. The first line, not line. This is line A is Yerushalayim. Line B is China. Line B is China. Line C is the civil date line, which zigzags around. Line D is Aksei HaSada. Who's I'd say I saw? You know, I'm trying to get my hands on that safer, I'd say I saw that. A friend of mine from Yeshiva Sneri Sof of the old days wrote this safer, I'd say I saw that. I don't have a copy of it. All right. But okay. It'll most probably confuse me more than I am already confused. Now watch. There was a question that you asked that's going to be answered very quickly. Yes. Rav Yehuda Halevi understands that since we can't have timing changes at every stage or every line in the globe, we have to create time zones. The Chazon Ish even had said this with regard, and we mentioned it briefly last week, regarding a landmass such as, for example, Australia. If the line goes through Australia, so we don't divide Australia into two different halakhic time zones, but whatever, wherever the majority of Australia is, that's where the rest of Australia is. And if they're on one particular side of the time zone, then the whole landmass becomes part of that time zone. There also is, therefore, the time zone that precedes Eretz Yisrael to the east, which is a time zone that is related, it's the preparation for Shabbos over here. It means, of course, that in Pakistan, Shabbos begins before Eretz Yisrael does. But it's all part of the Eretz Yisrael
configuration
of the globe. I like that word.
Yeah. Oh, that's
let's go.
Someone told
yes.
My friend was in Japan, and he said he had observed two Shabbos there.
What?
Santeja. It seems like you forgot. I said that we were going to have a guest. We were going to have a guest today, and the guest told me yesterday that he has to be out of town today. I wouldn't be surprised he's someplace in China or Japan. He is the fellow you common folk never make it up to the third floor over here. That's the sanctum sanctorum that only privileged people can get in there. Now in that Kodesh Kodashim up on the third floor is the main offices of the OU Kashrut in Israel. And there's a wonderful, wonderful, fine person, Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Cooper, who is in charge of Kashrut in this country. Because there are a lot of things that are on the OU here that are sent all over the world, but he also travels to China and Japan a few times during the year. And he, in fact, in Japan, keeps 2 days Shabbos. How do you like that? So I wanted that he should explain to you what halachic opinions he is following. The fact is that it's the halachic opinion of the Chazon Ish. China is no problem.
2 days in a row.
Can you tell me any other possibility? Keep Shabbos and it'll keep Tuesday.
Yeah.
50 hours of Shabbat.
Yes. 2 days in a row. In other words, you have the classic Shabbos Shani Shel Japan. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Very good, very good. So you have to understand. You understand, whenever there's, listen, it is the sheet of the Chazon Ish with regard to Japan. So what they, it was a psak that he could not give with regard to Yom Kippur because he couldn't have people fasting 2 days Yom Kippur. But what they do is, one day, the day that the locals keep as Shabbos is the day that they keep Shabbos Kedat u'Kedin. The second 24-hour period, so melachas derabbanan you can do, but not melachas theorizing. So it really means there may be a number of things here and there that you can do, but basically, but basically what it really means is if somebody who has 2 days like that in the course of a week, one of two possibilities,
You can become a great Talmud Chacham,
yeah.
Or you can go stark raving mad. And the possibility is that both will happen. But there are opinions that do call for that I give credit to somebody who's able to be machmer. I mean, this is not a simple chumra this is a chumra that calls for a tremendous amount of respect for halacha, and it takes a lot of.
And how about keeping no Shabbat, like arriving by airplane?
Oh, so that we took care of. That we took care of. What she wants to do is we were still trying to think of the fellow in the New York Post that I read 80 years ago.
Steinberg?
No, it wasn't Steinberg who wrote in the Post. I was a little boy, very precocious, very. Little boy and very precocious, the one that I read that he wrote, you know, yippee, this week I didn't have Yom Kippur. I crossed the international dateline from Erev Yom Kippur to Eitzoy Yom Kippur.
Oh.
By the way, there's a possibility of pulling shtick like that too. The Meiri, one of the Rishonim, talks about this and says that if a Tel Avivian is in put on the 14th day of Adar, is in Yerushalayim, and then for the 15th he goes to Tel Aviv. You know what he did? He doesn't have Purim here, and he doesn't have Purim there. People who are Machmer, of course, get drunk on the 14th and on the 15th Luchumra. But he says halachically, that's his opinion, one of the Rishonim, one of the people Rishonim.
But
his opinion is that
when does he hear the Megillah? It's Hova.
Well, you are the one that just talked to me about somebody crossing the dateline Erev Shabbos. I understand. So he says that from the point of view of halacha, it's possible to do away with Purim. But he says, well, how can you do away with Purim? But then there are others who say that no, it depends where your place of residence is. If your place of residence is Tel Aviv, then you're going to have to keep either a Tel Aviv day, or if you're not going to be in Tel Aviv at all, for example, you'd be in Yerushalayim both days, then you have to keep Yerushalayim. But the possibility exists, according to some Rishonim, that you're simply not going to have you're just not going to have a book. That's the same thing with the dateline. But when we're talking about somebody who keeps two days Shabbos, you know, that's. I admire people like that. We're just wrong. I'm getting. Okay, let's go. He's going to explain so much of what we said is going to become so much clearer as we go through it. We can't go into a third week on the. On this. All right. The day called Sabbath, for example, began for the first time when the sun began its rotation around the far west. Adam, who was in Israel at the time, saw the sun setting and called this the beginning of the Sabbath. This beginning of the Sabbath continued around the globe. That's what we're talking about. It continued around the globe. Shabbos continued starting for 18 hours around the globe. And by the time 18 hours from Eretz Yisrael are over, every place on the globe had already begun its Shabbos. And from 18 hours and further, what's happening is Sunday. Sunday is beginning. But as China is the international dateline, this is where the name of beginning of Sabbath stopped. When you get to that point, 18 hours west of Eretz Yisrael, the name Knisat HaShabbat, the beginning of Shabbos, stopped. Everything west of that point is considered, listen to this, this is the point we're making. Everything past that point is considered east of Israel. East of Israel means that it is in the Eretz Yisrael time zone. Otherwise, we're going to go crazy. It will mean that otherwise we would be in a position that in Metula it's Sunday and here it's Shabbos. So there's a time zone of 6 hours, a quarter of the globe, and all of that till the point of China is in this time zone. the point where days start, and not a continuation of the previous day's rotation. The previous day's rotation has ended when you come to the coast of China. Now watch, just give me another few minutes here. Since Israel is the beginning point for days, and China is the international deadline, when he says international deadline, he means Jewish halachic international deadline. Since Israel is the beginning point for days and China is the international deadline, it is impossible to avoid. This is the famous sentence of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi that is quoted by all of those who deal with this. Lo yin molet. There is no escaping the fact that there must be a point on the face of this earth where time changes. Days change by 24 hours. They're both next to each other. There is no other way. Since Israel is the beginning point for days and China is the international deadline, it is impossible to avoid having an area on the globe that is a combination of both the beginning of the East and the ending of the West. This place, in relation to Israel, is the beginning of the civilized world. Now we explain that what he's saying was really true until Columbus. Until Columbus, the world was from China to the Azores. What's the epicenter of that half of the globe? That center is right here. Yerushalayim is kamat straight across the center of that section of the globe. Then, of course, along came Columbus, and he found for us the other hemisphere. That's right, the other hemisphere.
Rabbi Gold?
Yeah.
What I find amazing is that at that point where he's explaining this to the Kuzari, most of the world thought that the world was flat. And he knows that it's round.
He knows for sure that it's round. There was never, in other words, those childish stories that we heard about Columbus with an egg.
Yes.
Maybe for the, I was going to say the dumb Spaniards. All right, maybe for the Spaniards, there was a nice story. It was a nice story to teach us when we were kids growing up. But certainly, we knew that the world was a globe. What we didn't know is whether there was life on the other side, or there were Martians there. And the fact is, for most of the time, there wasn't much life going on the other side. But man, as he had explained earlier, man was created in Yerushalayim and then expanded outwards. He was created on Har HaBayit. And then from there, you read the Bereishis and Noach, and you see that people began to spread out over the face of the earth. So obviously, it took time, it took a great deal of courage for those who began to move beyond the inhabited areas. A few islands here and a few islands there, and there must be a lot of this. Huh?
And the world stands still.
But listen, they found some nice things. I mean, with all the complaints that we have against the United States of America is still, because the world would be a pretty rotten place without the United States of America.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in a very patriotic mood. Now, listen to what he says. He says it so beautifully. The need to have two separate points. One, Israel, the beginning point for days, and two, China, the international dateline, is not just mandated by Torah principles. Natural science also indicates, although this is not simply a halachic determination, this is one that natural science dictates. It would not make sense for all populated areas of the world to have the same name for the day of the week unless we establish one point on the globe that is the beginning point for days and the starting point for moving westward. For example, as we do, Israel, and then we move westward. And another point on the globe that marks the end of that westward movement. We start moving west from Eretz Israel, and then at some point, it has to stop, because we're going to have one day running into the next. We need to have some distance between the beginning point and the ending point in order that the westernmost end point is not considered to be the east of the beginning point. As I was describing, we can end up standing with one foot in the east and one foot in the west. I mean, that's more than being schizophrenic. I mean, that's a torn piece of shticker. If this were not the case, we would never be able to establish a set name for the days of the week in any given place, for then any point on the globe could be both east and west. You could choose any place on the globe. Where I'm standing is one day, and where you're sitting is another day.
Rabbi Gold, yes. Here, I have to clarify. You said international...
Why do you have to clarify? Somebody
had to clarify.
Yeah?
Here it says the international day line is China,
yes.
According to the Khazari.
Yes.
And the other hand is saying someplace in the Pacific Ocean.
That's why I was very careful to say that when he uses the term international date line, he's referring to the halachic date line.
That's what I thought.
He calls it international date line.
Right, okay.
For then, any point on the globe, we're going to have east to the places, west of it, and west to the places. No. For example, China would then be considered east in relation to Israel and west in relation to those living on the other side of the world. The other side of the world would be east in relation to China and west in relation to the countries of the west. And by the way, if this confuses you, that's good. Then your reality testing is very good. It means it would be a confusing world in which to live. Where is east and where is west? Where is it Sunday and where is it Monday? Where is it Monday and where is it Tuesday? The Western countries would be east in relation to the other side of the world. And can you imagine if this would have to come before the United Nations? And the countries on one side of the world say, we're the beginning. And the countries on the other side of the world say, we're the beginning. And communist Russia, Oliver Stalin, would say, well, we're the ones who created day altogether. So of course it has to come from here.
That was Al Gore.
Huh?
That was Al Gore. That's why we have a veto.
Now, we would then have no true west, east or west, no beginning or end, and subsequently no established names for the days of the week. According to our system, however, we can have established names for the days with the starting point, beginning, and end. There has to be a point. Now, while the international dateline is an arbitrary one, ours, he says, is based on the fact that first Shabbos began with sunset in Eretz Yisrael. That's the point. Now, when he says that's the point, it means that's the point including the area 90 degrees east of Eretz Yisrael. From the look, the man is like he's talking today. It's unbelievable. This is such an amazing piece of the puzzle. From the starting point, we divide the world into time zones. Because it would be impossible to allocate a separate time for each longitudinal point on the globe. Means of going out there. You know, it would mean every longitudinal line on the face of the globe is 4 minutes. So we'd all have to have different time zones 4 minutes apart from each other. It would be unbelievable. It would be terrible. For example, Jerusalem itself has an infinite number of longitudinal lines, this same city. You can have a few lines going through the city. Everybody wants to make a lot of lines through the city. And what is considered east in relation to Mount Zion is not necessarily east in relation to the temple. Even from Har Zion to the temple, there are already different longitudinal lines that can make a difference. By the way, in regard to Shabbos, we do take that into consideration. Shabbos begins at different times. In Haifa,
in
Tel Aviv, and Yerushalayim, and Be'er Sheva, and even Ma'alei Adumim, you understand, has its particular point, which depends, number one, on its longitudinal line. It also depends on its height. Now, depending on where you are, sunrise or sunset can come at a different point in time. There we take it into consideration, but we cannot take it into consideration for every minute of the waking day. For example, Jerusalem itself has an infinite number of longitudinal points, and what is considered east in relation to Mount Zion is not necessarily east in relation to the temple. Furthermore, even though the senses do not perceive any difference, so good, any difference in their respective horizons, there is actually a slight difference between the two. The fact is, they can be a few minutes away, and we may not see the difference, but there is a difference. There is a difference. Certainly, then, there is a longitudinal difference between Damascus and Jerusalem. And so we must say that the Sabbath of Damascus begins before. In Damascus, Shabbos begins earlier. And similarly, that the Sabbath in Jerusalem starts before the Sabbath in Egypt with regard to Shabbos. It's a fact. The sun sets there in Mitzrayim later. The sun sets in Damascus earlier.
But didn't he say that everything starts in Jerusalem here?
That's right, it starts here.
So if it starts here, it's going to be earlier.
Yeah, but the fact is that the sun set in Damascus earlier. In Pakistan, it certainly...
So isn't that a problem? What's
no.
Having
so he says that once he has established that you can't have different times for every line, so you have to take a part of the globe, and he uses 90 degrees.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The difference in time from the first time zone to the last, within which all the zones consider it the same day, is 18 hours, no more, no less. A day, a new day, begins on the face of this earth for a period of 18 hours. After 18 hours have passed, every place on the face of this earth has already begun Shabbos. And six hours later, you know what's going to happen? Those places that started Shabbos first are going to start ending Shabbos. And there's that point at which Sunday is going to arrive. So that, for example, the people in the first time zone declare the beginning of the Sabbath, and the beginning of the Sabbath leaves the first time zone and goes to the next time zone, and so on. If Shabbos starts in our time zone first, it's going to end in our time zone first, and Mitzoy Shabbos and Sunday is going to begin. This continues until 18 hours have elapsed from the time that the Sabbath first entered to the first time zone, so that the sun is now overhead in Israel. At that point, when the sun is overhead in Israel, at that point, Shabbos has ended from all places on the face of this earth. 18 hours after Shabbos has begun. At that point, the Sabbath has already, in other words, it had already begun for everyone in the world. And no one else will call this time the beginning of the Sabbath. But everyone will instead commence to the next time period, which means winding down. Noon is 12 hours after... Noon is... 6 to 6. Yeah, it's 18 hours. From sunset to noon is 18 hours. In other words, when it's Sunday, noon, in Eretz Yisrael, Shabbos has already begun in every place on the face of this earth. There is no single place left for Shabbos to begin. And all that's going to happen from that point and further is that line after line on the face of this earth, Shabbos is going to end. It's not bad. Now, his great chiddush comes over here. The only thing is I have a problem with this great chiddush. One would have to know an extremely difficult Gemara, and I'm going to see if I can... There's a sentence in the Gemara that has vexed the minds of so many. The Gemara at the end of the first parak in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, I picked up this morning, an art school, Rosh Hashanah and Shul, we have, and they have pages and pages of diagrams explaining all of the various approaches to this Gemara. The Gemara says the following: Nolad Kodem Chatzot, Nolad Kodem Chatzot, V'yadua if the molad is before noon, then the moon will be seen before sunset. If the molad is going to occur before noon, then you can see the moon before sunset. Now, the fact is, you don't see it for about 12 or 18 hours until after the molad. You can't see the moon, you understand? You still don't see the moon. It's not yet visible. So what do you mean if it's no light before noon, then you're going to see it before sunset? So the great chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is, do you know what we're talking about? If it starts, if the molad of the new moon is before Hatzot, then that point on the globe that is 18 hours later where the last sunset is going to begin, by that time, the moon is going to be visible. It doesn't mean if the molad is here at high noon, a minute before high noon in Yerushalayim, so 6 hours later here in Yerushalayim, you're going to be able to see the new moon. That won't happen. That will never happen. It can't happen. So what's the Gemara saying? No, had kodem chatzos. If it was born, the new moon was born before noon, then you'll see it by sunset. You know which sunset they're talking about?
When you have a long day,
you'll
see it.
Somewhere else.
Not here.
You need another day until you can see it. The Gemara says 24 hours the moon is concealed. For 24 hours it's concealed. So how is it possible? Stretch the day as much as you can stretch it. Trust me. Have faith in me. If the molad is before noon in Jerusalem, you ain't gonna see nothing by sunset.
You won't see it in 8 hours?
You won't see it in 8 hours, you won't see it in 9 hours, you won't see it in 10 hours. But you know what he says? You will, at the point in the globe that is 18 hours away from here,
yes.
6 hours later, do you know what's going to hit? 6 plus 18 equals 24 hours. Chav Dalet Sha'ot Michsi Sihara. The Gemara says 24 hours the moon is concealed. So how could our rabbis have made a cryptic statement like this? If the molad is before noon in Yerushalayim, you'll see it before sunset. How can you even say the words out of your mouth? That's the big question that all the Mefarshim of the Gemara want to know what's going on over here. So Yehuda Halevi comes up with this brief. They're not talking about Shkia here in Yerushalayim. The day, the noon of Yerushalayim is going to extend around the globe for another 18 hours. Plus the 6 hours from Chatzos until sunset here, there's going to be a point on the other end of the globe where it's night. And that's going to be 24 hours after the molad. The 24 hours of the moon being behind the earth so that it's not in direct line with the sun. Then we'll be able to see it.
So why didn't they say that?
Rabbi
Goldstein, we have questions. That's why.
And that the Gedolei Yisroel.
Now, what you're saying?
You have to understand that Chachmei Yisroel, I'm sure at the time that they said it, they explained exactly what they meant. Unfortunately, in the course of time, we have lost the ability to fully understand what it was, and then we have to work it out all by ourselves. And this was Rabbi Yehuda Halevi's tremendous, tremendous contribution. Now, it doesn't make any difference. The truth is what emerges from this is the following. You don't have to remember everything we said over here. What you have to understand is that long before the nations of the world were dealing with the problem of the international dateline, there was a Jew by the name of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi who was doing precisely that. Not only he was doing precisely that, He set down all the laws and everything that's necessary to understand why there must be an establishment of the dateline. And of course, his most important point is that we have a dateline of our own, regardless of what the nations of the world are going to do at any point in history. We have a dateline, and our dateline is related to Shabbos. And first, Shabbos begins in Eretz Yisrael. That's the fundamental principle. By the way, that's going to lead to the rest of the discussion where he keeps telling the king what an amazing place Eretz Yisrael is, and then he asks him, tell me all that it is that you know about Eretz Yisrael, and then comes off, of course, the great question that we had in the Parsha Shil last week as well, where he asks him, if so, Talmud Chacham, if you're not living in Eretz Yisrael, you live in Spain, you are transgressing what is an extremely important and significant mitzvah of Torah. And then the great answer of Rabbi Yehuda Levi, Ovashtami Melech Kuzar, King of the Khazars, who have shamed me and embarrassed me, and this sin of Jews not having returned to Eretz Yisrael is what brought about ultimately the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash. Okay, we have another few weeks and we're going to take out the number very special. We have to go back. We were already in number 3, where we were dealing with the definition and description of the pious Jew. And we're going to learn one section that really encapsulates all of Torah. Don't listen to me anymore. I can't remember.
Rabbi Gold.
Yes.
The first day was the fourth day. You know, now is that consistent halakhically with scientists who say that the earth was
I'm sure that they. If scientists don't believe in 6 days of creation, so. But remember, on the contrary, you know, this is one of the points in which we can clearly understand that 6 days of creation can mean billions of years. Because the first 4 days, they were not 20 days of 24 hours.
So it could fall in that
category. It can fall in that. There is no contradiction between the story of creation and what scientists say. All right, okay. Boy, I can relax. Yes. It was important. I'm sorry, I felt that this was important. I'm